This is St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Greg Montanew. In case you've forgotten the sound, that's a cassette tape rewinding. Before CDs or MP3s, tapes were the go-to method for album releases. Many think the story of cassettes ended in the mid-90s, yet St. Louis is home to a dedicated tape community. St. Louis Public Radio's Willis Ryder Arnold spoke with three St. Louisans resurrecting the cassette.
Here in St. Louis, tapes live on like zombie survivors of a technological apocalypse. A subculture of musicians and fans embrace them as the go-to form of creative documentation, underground album releases, and art objects. Joe Hess is one of those musicians. He was born in the mid-80s during cassette's heyday. He says they're a unique way to document concerts.
When you wake up the next day after a show, you don't remember it in sequential order. You remember it in bits and pieces, things jumbled up. You remember moments, you remember things that were said on stage. You remember conversations that you had with people in the crowd.
Hess documents that experience in tape form. He organizes and records the Undercurrent concert series held at Schlafly Tap Room. His cassettes are sound collages, recordings of concerts mixed to mimic how we remember things. The tapes are manufactured at an Illinois plant for $1.50 per tape and given away for free at the next event. As tape popularity declined in the late 90s, cassettes were embraced by underground hip-hop and punk circles in St. Louis.
I've seen a bunch of growing labels jump up and to put out their own stuff and put out their friends' bands.
Matt Stutler runs a local punk label called Eat Tapes. He sits at Apop Records on Cherokee Street the week before it closed. He likes releasing tapes because the listening experience contradicts internet listening habits.
So when you have a tape, though, you're giving a little bit more commitment when you put it in because, like, you can't skip songs, which is great. I love not being able to skip songs on a tape. Like, you actually have to get up and fast forward. I just put a tape in and it's like, all right, we're going to listen to this band, like, all the way through.
He makes 50 cassettes at a time that he dubs in his living room. The tapes made in his apartment have found an international audience.
I've sold tapes to, like, Germany, the Netherlands, Japan, England, probably about 25 U.S. states.
A few blocks down Cherokee Street, another record label founder, Nathan Cook, sits at Fortune Teller Bar. Like Hess and Stutler, he's given the cassette new life as a comprehensive art project.
Where I also started getting interested in the cassette was as from the perspective of it being an artist's multiple.
Each tape is one in a series, like photographic prints or sculptures. Cook started releasing tapes on his Close Far label in 2010. He likes that tapes give him a chance to flex his design degree and create album covers. But of course, audio comes first.
My love of cassettes is all about the atmosphere of the tape, and it starts with the sound.
Cook releases experimental music. He knows it can seem like a niche market, but wants people to know the music's not pretentious. In fact, he hopes people find it approachable.
It really comes down to it being a project that I'm truly believe in and want to publish and share with other people.
Really, Cook, Stutler, and Hess all want to share the music they love in a creative format. They've resurrected cassette tapes because they're affordable, durable, and present audio in a form you can hold in your hand. I'm Willis Ryder Arnold, St. Louis Public Radio.